This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Hour three of the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, are we going to see a team pull away from the rest of college football like we've had the last couple of years? Plus, we have our all-names team that we have to get to. The best names in college football this year. Get to that coming up here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Brought to you by Baker Roofing. Baker Roofing has been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager at Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. We closed out last hour when I was talking about the most embarrassing embracements of pop culture references. Right, so you have the Fonz statue in Milwaukee because that's where Happy Days took place. And so they've really embraced it. And there's a statue for this made-up character. Right, Philadelphia has the Rocky statue. And as we saw last night, Dyersville, Iowa loves Field of Dreams. That's what the whole town is about, apparently. Well, somebody called in and made us aware of a Jason Voorhees statue, which is fitting because today is Friday the 13th. I totally forgot until this was brought up to me, this story. But it's Friday the 13th. So happy Friday the 13th. I hope that they have a marathon of those. I love those films. If you listen to the show, you know that. The two things I look forward to most in the fall, football and October, where you watch scary movies all month long on TV. I love the Halloweens, love the Friday the 13th. Happy Friday the 13th. But there's a Jason Voorhees statue at the bottom of a Minnesota lake. And I had to look this up. I've never heard of this. And here's a story that actually came out today for, I guess, Friday the 13th. So how fitting. But it was created by Doug Klein. And he placed it 120 feet at the bottom of a spot for divers in Crosby, Minnesota, specifically in a state-owned mine pit known as Louise. And there's a video here that shows what the statue originally looked like. It is creepy. If I was underwater and I saw that thing, I would think it was actually Jason. And then there's an updated video from within the last year of what it currently looks like now, and it doesn't look quite as good, right, being at the bottom of this lake for all these years. I don't know when they put that. I don't know how long it's been down there, but I did not know this was a thing. I was wondering when I first heard the details of this, why Minnesota? Because the movie takes place in New Jersey, Crystal Lake in New Jersey. That's how he's able to take over Manhattan in one of those ridiculous movies, right? How he winds up in New York City. Why Minnesota? But I think this is just a guy who's trying to screw with people, that if you like go scuba diving or if you're underwater, right, he's just trying to be, I guess, just trying to scare people with a fake Jason Voorhees down there. That would scare me. The statue comes with like a machete in hand. And he's got the mask on and everything. And somebody tried to copy this, and in Arizona in 2018, a scuba diver, Zachary Nagy, placed a Voorhees statue of his own in Arizona's Lake Pleasant. And he built the statue himself, and he placed it in the lake in May of 2018. But the supervisor of the park, where the lake is, apparently found out about this, did not like it, and he had it removed. So they tried this in Arizona, and that Jason Voorhees did not last long. But apparently in Minnesota, there is a statue of Jason Voorhees. Very odd to me, but I do love those movies, so I'll say that's, you know, I'll give it a thumbs up. I think it's a weird thing to do. I think it's just a random thing just to try to scare people, because I don't think there's any connection to Minnesota with the Friday the 13th film series. But since I do love the movies and the statue looks pretty cool, I'll say that's okay. Joe, what do you think? Do you think it's cool or corny for Milwaukee to embrace Happy Days and have a statue of the Fonz?
Well, what else does Milwaukee have?
I don't know. Milwaukee's best.
Yeah, besides, you know, some of the beer breweries.
Yeah, they have some beer and brats and the Fonz. Beer, brats, and the Fonz. That's what Milwaukee's all about.
Well, and the Vernon Shirley.
Oh.
Yeah, that was based there as well.
Well, they need to have a statue next to the Fonz with Laverne and Shirley.
Which I think they were all friends.
Oh, perfect.
I think when the characters were first introduced before the spinoff show.
Well, then there you go. You could have a whole family there. What about Philadelphia embracing Rocky?
Don't have a problem with that either.
I like that one. I think the Fonz, and look, I like the Fonz. I used to watch Happy Days as a kid growing up, and I think it's a little corny to have a statue of the Fonz in downtown Milwaukee. Rocky, though, Philadelphia, I think that's pretty cool. Some of the others I mentioned, you know, Jaws, I don't think they have anything to commemorate it, but boy, do they love Jaws at Martha's Vineyard. Obviously, Field of Dreams last night in Dyersville, Iowa. And now, apparently, Jason Voorhees in a random lake in Minnesota. So there you go. If Happy Days took place in Charleston and they put a Fonz statue in Charleston, would you like that idea? If we had a bronze Fonz statue downtown, if Happy Days actually took place here?
We have a lot of statues in town here.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have one like the Fonz. Come on. I opened up the show talking about college football. Circling back to that, if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. But we have grown used in college football to the national champion pulling away from everybody else. We are used to now dominant teams in college football. Right? In 2018, Clemson was 15-0. And when it came to the playoff, they won by 27-28. Then LSU went 15-0. And when they reached the playoff, they won by 35-17. Then Alabama last year went 13-0. And when they reached the playoff, won by 17-28. They had dominant offenses along the way. They had great quarterback production. They blew a bunch of teams out. They never lost a game. They were the national champions. Should we expect that again this year? Will we see a team dominate this season like the last few? Will we see a team run the table, blow everyone out, have a great offense, go undefeated, and win the national championship? There are a few reasons why it may not happen this year. A few reasons why these top programs may come back just a little bit to the pack. That sure, they may still be the best teams in football, but it could come with a loss. It could come with some challenges, more so than usual, as opposed to a team running the table, 15-0, blowing everyone out, even in the playoff against the other best teams in the country. Those teams can't keep up. There are a few reasons why we could see more challenges this year in college football, why we may not get that runaway team. Number one, because of all the quarterback changes. We've talked about this all off season. But you have these programs going through quarterback changes. And we all assume that the new quarterbacks are going to be just fine. They're going to be just as good as the replacements or the quarterbacks in which they are replacing. But at a certain point, maybe it's just one school. Maybe it's a couple of schools. Right? You imagine at a certain point, one of the quarterbacks may not be quite as good. Like Kelly Bryant in between two great quarterbacks at Clemson. And you saw like, yeah, you know, he's not quite that good. Now, Clemson was fine. With Kelly Bryant, they had plenty of success. But you could see the difference in quarterbacks, and that could be enough to keep you from winning a national championship. Or maybe, who knows, one of these quarterbacks really struggles, costs a team an early game in the season that throws the whole season off track or just clearly is not good enough to compete at the highest level for that program. Because as we head into the season, the only quarterback that people seem to feel confident in saying, yeah, this guy's going to be really good, is Spencer Rattler. Maybe a little bit of Sam Howell as well, but UNC is not one of those top-tier programs. I'm talking about Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, even Georgia. There are plenty of skeptics around JT Daniels. Plenty of unknown around Bryce Young. Even when it comes to DJ, I'm not hearing that same talk of a Spencer Rattler. I don't hear people talking about, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Heisman this year. And he has that potential, but he also has some questions to answer. Like, we kind of have to see it first. And we at least saw a little bit of Spencer Rattler last year. He wasn't as good as anticipated, but now coming back as a sophomore, having already played a season, knowing that system, the expectations are that he'll be the Heisman and the guy this season. He's the only quarterback right now that people seem to believe in, that they know. If you had to press somebody, like who are going to be the great quarterbacks this year? Everyone around college football apparently will tell you Spencer Rattler. Beyond that, well, we have to wait and see. Number two, the second reason is the schedule, because you have a lot of tough games along the way that the national champion could trip up on their path to the trophy. I mean, Clemson starts with Georgia. What if they lose to Georgia, but then still go on to win the national championship? Then Georgia has to play Clemson week one, and if they want to go where they hope, they'll probably have to play Alabama in the SEC title game. Can they beat both of them? What if they lose to Clemson, still get to the SEC championship, beat Alabama, go to the playoff, maybe go to the national championship, but they'll have that loss along the way? Then you look at Alabama. They have to face Miami. They have to face Florida on the road early in the year. They have to face the SEC schedule. They lost a lot of pieces a year ago. Could they lose a game along the way? Could they lose to Georgia if we get that SEC championship? Both teams then go to the playoff. Maybe Alabama still wins the national championship, but not as an undefeated team. Even Ohio State, they'll be tested early on as they break in some new pieces, and I do think the Big Ten overall will be a tougher conference this year. Those are two things I focused on all offseason. The schedule, especially early in the college football season, and all the quarterback changes. A lot of top programs have to replace a quarterback. It could lead to a little bit, a slight shakeup in college football. But beyond that, there are a couple of other factors at play as well. Number three, the third reason why we may not see that undefeated, pull-away, dominant team this year is because defenses are expected to be better, like Clemson, who's bringing back almost everybody and should have a great defensive line. Alabama will have a really good front seven. Ohio State should be better defensively this year. UNC, they believe they'll be better defensively. Even Florida, Texas A&M should be really good defensively. One of the best defenses in the SEC this year. And in the past, these dominant teams that have gone on to win the national championship have done so with offense. That's how they have dominated. Clemson, LSU, Alabama. But if you're going up against some tougher defenses along the way, it could be a little more challenging. You can close that gap just slightly. Maybe you're not as dominant. Maybe you don't win every game. You go up against a really good defense that slows you down. And those defenses this year could be better in part because of reason number four in all this. Most of the players are back in college football. Obviously, plenty of players went and got drafted, but the ones that didn't all can come back because every player got a year extra of eligibility due to the pandemic. For example, in the Southern Conference, 85% of starters are back. Now, that's not the FBS, but that's just to illustrate the point that all across college football, a lot of these guys are back. And at the FBS level, it's no different. Bill Connolly put together the data for ESPN.com, and he said that on average, you return 64% of your production at the FBS level from one season to the next. On average, you have to replace a third of your roster. So you usually get back 64%. That's the average. Well, this year, everyone is over the average. The SEC is returning 68% of their production, and that's the lowest. After that, you have the Big 12 at 73%, the Big 10 and ACC at 75%, the Pac-12 at 80% of its production is coming back. So you'll have more experience than we're used to in college football. You'll have some of the best players, right, sticking around a little bit longer than usual for college football. And if you're an inexperienced team, if you're a young team, boy, are you on the outside looking in. And boy, are you the minority, because everyone else has these deep teams with guys back and plenty of experience, and you don't, you're behind the eight ball. But additionally, beyond that, this could also help shrink the gap between the 1A teams and the 1B teams. Because the 1A teams are 1A because the talent they bring in is so good right away that they've already reached their ceiling. But the 1B, they have some good players that still have some room to grow. And if you get an extra year of them, theoretically, right, they should be even better. Or the second part of it is that the 1A teams can replenish so easily. Right? Texas A&M, say, loses a bunch of players, so too does Alabama. Alabama will have an easier time reloading in one offseason than A&M. But when you have less reloading to do and have more players coming back, right, Texas A&M, they were the number five team in the country last year. They don't have to worry about trying to reload. They're bringing back most of the same players. Whereas Alabama has the advantage in recruiting. They always have the number one class, so they don't care. Like, yeah, we're losing a bunch of pieces, but we're going to bring in guys that are just as good. Meanwhile, our opponents are losing a bunch of pieces. They're not going to bring in guys that are quite as good. They can't keep up with our recruiting. But here, you get to bring back some of your experienced players. And the fifth reason, that road environments will be back this year. Last year, depending on where you played, what conference, what the schedule you played, who you played against, you may not have had to deal with many road environments. It's why in the NFL, people are still cautious about players that performed really well last year. Josh Allen took a big step up last year. Justin Herbert looked really good as a rookie, surprised a lot of people last year. But was it at least in part because no fans on the road? It was never easier to play quarterback in the NFL last year. What about this year? Justin Herbert, for the first time, is going to have to deal with road environments in the NFL. Will that affect his play? Right, Josh Allen, will we see him take a step back this year because it's going to be a little bit tougher to go on the road? College football, same idea. Will we see some teams not perform quite as strongly because for some of their guys, this may be the first time they face a true road environment. They didn't have to worry about that last year. Those are five factors that could keep a team from blowing away the rest of the competition. Will we see a team pull away from college football? Because it's happened at least the last 3 years. And that's not to say there still won't be great teams. There will be. Right? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, probably Oklahoma. These will still be really strong teams. But maybe they have one loss along the way. Maybe they have some close calls along the way. Maybe the playoff games will be really competitive instead of the usual blowouts we get. Maybe these teams will look more vulnerable over the course of the season, unlike the last 3 years. But with that said, I will acknowledge that in those last 3 years, we did not see it coming, these teams that were dominant. When Clemson did it in 2018, right? We went into that year, they were having a quarterback competition. We did not know Trevor Lawrence would be that good. He ended up having the best true freshman season we've seen from a quarterback. Then the following year, LSU, right? Joe Burrow. We were talking about Ed Orgeron's on the hot seat. Now, this Joe Burrow kid, he's not special. They went off and set records offensively, went undefeated, won the national championship. And then last year, so Alabama, how are they going to replace Tua? How are they going to replace these wide receivers? Mac Jones, he was a three-star recruit, and he went out and one-upped LSU just a few months later and was the best quarterback in college football performance-wise a year ago, and they won the national championship. So we'll probably have it happen again this year, right? History tells us it could happen again this year, and if it does, we won't see it coming. So who will it be? Which one of those teams this year could separate themselves from the rest of the group without us seeing it coming? Which one of those teams could have that surprise quarterback performance? The safe assumption is Spencer Rattler. That's who everybody would say. But again, it's usually a surprise. It's not usually the favorite going into that season. Trevor Lawrence was not. Joe Burrow was not. Mac Jones was not last year. They were not the guy we were talking about. Oh, yeah, they'll win the Heisman, maybe the number one pick, like we're talking about with Spencer Rattler. Usually those are the quarterbacks that get passed by. So you go to the 1B options, the next group of quarterbacks, who still have to perform for a really good program. Right, you can't tell me, like, well, Minnesota's going to have a really good quarterback. That will be a surprise. Yeah, Minnesota's not going to make that big of a jump to win a national championship. We still know the national champion is going to come from a group of about five or six schools. It just may not be the school you're expecting. So in that secondary group, in the 1B, who could it be? Maybe you consider JT Daniels and Georgia a 1B team this year. Maybe Emory Jones in Florida. Wouldn't that be a surprise? Or what about Texas A&M? Because they are expected to be a top 5-6 team in the country this year. And while they did lose Kellen Mond last year, you may not hear much about their new quarterback this season. Haynes King, I believe, will be the starting quarterback. Right, Texas A&M has a lot of other good pieces. They may have the best defense in the conference. They do have some good wide receivers. They have one of the best coaches in the conference. They'll have one of the best rushing attacks in the conference. They have all the other pieces except the quarterback. Similar to maybe how we felt about LSU or Alabama, or to a certain degree, a Trevor Lawrence as a freshman, didn't know he would be that good right away. But you step in, you got some talent around you, good coach, good program, and they really outperform expectations. Could it be even somebody like a Texas A&M, who were just on the outside looking in? Lose their quarterback, you don't even know who their new quarterback is, you think, oh, they can't keep up with Spencer Rattler and JT Daniels and this guy and that guy, DJ. But we've seen the last 3 years, there's been a surprise team led by a quarterback who we did not see his dominance coming. Could it be somebody like a Texas A&M? Maybe a little bit of a longer shot, maybe someone like Florida with Emory Jones, a quarterback that will be the best in the country that we did not expect and lead their team to a national championship. The factors are at play to make this a difficult season or a more difficult season for the top teams in college football, but history also tells us that one of those teams will step up above the rest and be that dominant squad. And will do so because of elite quarterback play that we're not forecasting. It has happened the last 3 years. Will it happen again this year? And if it does, who will that team be? Maybe somebody like a Texas A&M finally breaking through. We'll see which team could potentially step up. Will we have that dominant team in college football this year? Or will it be a little messier this year? A little more even between the 1A, 1B squads? Coming up, our all-names team. What are the best names in college football this year? We got the starting lineup for you, and we'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear, and we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke, and I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke.
Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, the all names team for the upcoming college football season. We have it, and we'll share it with you next here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You ever have a problem around the house? You think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialist can. Check them out online, CantyCanFixIt.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And this time of the year, you got to protect your toes as you're running around in the yard. Maybe you're having a catch out in the yard barefoot. And if you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck, well, the Canty Foundation Specialist can offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of those little toes. Contact them for a free estimate today. The Canty Foundation Specialist. Online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. For some reason, football always provides the most unique names, more so than any other sport. It's why Keegan, Michael Key, and Jordan Peele, right, that, for, was it Key and Peele? Peele and Key, whatever that show was, they always did the skits of making fun of football players who have the most ridiculous names. So, Jim Weber, who founded LostLetterman.com and, you know, covers college sports, he did all the legwork. Now we just get to share this with you. He put together the all-names team for this upcoming college football season. The players at each position with the best name in college football this year, and we'll run through it to take a look at who's on the all-names team this year in college football. We'll run through the names here on the all-names team for college football for the upcoming season. That's how you know it's a big deal, when you hear that tune come on. All right, let's start on the offense, the all-names team in college football this year. At quarterback, you got General Booty from Tyler Junior College. I don't know where that is, but a great name for your quarterback, General Booty. Hopefully he's a mobile quarterback. He can do the bootlegs. You get the pun. Running back, Tank Bigsby from Auburn, who, if you're a Gamecock fan, you know well and will certainly continue to get to know. And the running back at Kentucky, Cavassier Smoke. That's a pretty good one as well. That's a good name for a running back, right? Smoke. At tight end, from Wyoming, John Michael Gillenberg. And we'll see how many of these names I actually pronounce correctly. John Michael Gillenberg for Wyoming as your starting tight end. At the wide receiver position, you have Fat Watts from Tulane and Aju Aju from Clemson. Fat Watts. Now, it's the PH Fat. And he must be, you know, about 18 years old, 19. He's in college at Tulane. So, you know, he was born at the turn of the century when fat was a big term. So his parents must have loved that. That's fat, right? PH fat. That means cool. Like in the scene in Meet the Parents, when Ben Stiller's character says, Little Kim's fat, and he gets a weird look, and he says, you know, PH fat, when he looks at the poster of Little Kim on the wall. Offensive line on the all-names team. You have Brodarius Ham from Auburn. Dylan Deathridge from Western Michigan. Bear Hunter from Appalachian State. That's a great one. Gentle Williams from Cal. Not a good name for an offensive lineman. That's like when you call a big guy tiny. Gentle Williams. He's an offensive lineman. I'm sure he's a big brute for Cal. And then the last offensive lineman, Dodge Saucer from Iowa State. That's your starting offensive line on the all-name team. Shifting over to defense. On the defensive line, you have, don't drop this, FCC, don't fine us, Shitta Silla from Boston College on the defensive line. Then you have Fish McWilliams from UAB. Fish McWilliams. Also on the defensive line, Octavius Oxendine from Kentucky. I always love alliteration. Octavius Oxendine. When you could get the first and last name starting with the same letter, I think that sounds really good. And rounding out the defensive line on the all-name team, Big Cat Bryant. There's also Big Cat over for Barstool, so, you know, that's a thing. He's at UCF. Big Cat Bryant on the defensive line. Perfect name. He's got to be like a three-technique nose tackle run stuffer, right? Big Cat Bryant. Put him right over the ball and have him take up a double team. Linebacking core. We got Chief Borders from Florida. Also on the linebacking court, Bumper Pool from Arkansas. I love that one. Bumper Pool. And from UNC, the other linebacker, Power Eccles. Power is a good name for a football player. In the secondary, the defensive backs, you have Storm Duck from North Carolina, from UNC. Storm Duck. Also in the secondary, Smoke Monday from Auburn. That's a pretty good one. Buck Kors for Wyoming. And the other defensive back, New Zealand Williams. I guess Zimbabwe was taken. His parents named him New Zealand Williams. Maybe that's where they met. Maybe that's where he was conceived. New Zealand Williams from San Diego State is your other defensive back. And on special teams, the punter is George Georgopoulos from UMass. I love that. I always love the names that are so similar, first to last name. Like, we had a teacher in school growing up was Kelly Kelly, but I think she married a Kelly. Right, Kelly Kelly. This guy's George Georgopoulos. If your last name's Georgopoulos, don't name your kid George. Name him literally anything else other than George. And the kicker is Connor Assley from Iowa State. The all-names team for the college football season. Some honorable mentions that got left off. You have Kobe Buffalo Meat, a lineman for Lawrence. I don't know what school that is. It's not FBS. Kobe Buffalo Meat. His last name, it's one word, Buffalo Meat. You know, they always say that your last name, if you go back far enough, it's whatever the job was for your ancestors. If someone's last name is Taylor, right? Their ancestors were tailors, so on and so forth. Cook, their ancestors were cooks. Apparently, Kobe Buffalo Meat, right? His family, his ancestors were in charge of getting the buffalo meat back in the day. I don't know if Kobe is buffalo meat. Then you have Hot Rod Fitton for the Gamecocks. That's a good one. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the Alabama defensive back. We've talked about him on the show before. Kool-Aid McKinstry. I know the story because we talked about it. He got the name Kool-Aid because his grandmother said he was like the Kool-Aid man coming out of the womb, which is a little crap. I don't know if we need to know that story. I just shared it with you again, so blame me. But he came busting out like the Kool-Aid man would go busting through a wall. So Kool-Aid McKinstry, freshman defensive back for Alabama. And the other honorable mention, Sauce Gardner, a defensive back at Cincinnati. Sauce Gardner, pretty good. The all-names team for the upcoming college football season. For whatever reason, football always gives us the most unique names, and it's great. So there you go, the all-names team for the upcoming college football season. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Georgetown is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Good to be back, Luke.
Yes, good to hear you again.
You left out one.
What's that?
Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez?
Yeah, something like that. Speedy Gonzalez.
Who's he playing for?
That was a slang word, right?
I don't know. I just know the cartoon. Speedy. The cartoon? He's coming to play. He's playing in the SEC this year?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Has there ever been anybody that played football by the first name of David?
I'm sure.
I was a running back. Yeah, my first name's David. I was a running back at elementary school.
Yeah.
And we were playing outside. I might have told you this story before, but you got more listeners now, so this is important. And we was playing outside out there in the field. We didn't have no protection or nothing, and the quarterback gave me the ball. I put my head down like John Riggins that used to play with the Washington Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Okay? And he was coming towards me, and I run straight into him, and it was like hitting one of these live oak trees.
Yeah.
And it knocked me out.
Oh.
But I held on to the football.
There you go.
And when I woke up, I looked at the quarterback and said, did I get the first down? And he said, gee, I don't have to run that much. But anyway, the bell rung.
Uh-huh.
And then we heard the bell, and then we had to run inside,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And second bell rings, you're in trouble. So I run by the principal's office, jogging there in the hallway, and it was too late, and she paddled me on the fingers, on the knuckles.
Uh-huh.
But the point I'm trying to get across is, from then on, it was hard for me to study. I had to memorize everything. I'd come home, you know, and do my homework and all that.
Yeah.
My brother didn't have to do that. He listened in class,
yep.
And took it all in. He'd come home and read Western books and eat bologna sandwiches. But I might have got a concussion from that.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I didn't have no headaches or nothing.
Uh-huh.
But you never know. That's why I'm trying to tell the kids right now, when you out there, football is the baddest sport when you play them with no gear or nothing on. And the main thing is, do not put your head down.
That's right.
I played one. That was one play, and that was it. Not put your head down.
That was your football career.
Keep your head up so you can look and dodge and all that. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
That was my mistake, but there was no supervision out there. You got me?
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to get across. And next week we can talk about what you talked about the statue under the water and all like that. Okay.
I look forward to it. Good to hear from you, Dave in Georgetown. His football career lasted one play. Tackle football in recess. And we played a lot of wiffle ball. And recess was what, like 20, 30 minutes? We tried to get a whole wiffle ball game in. We were hustling.
I wonder what he would have to say about the A7FL, which is pretty much the padless football.
Uh-huh.
And the theory behind that is they're trying to see if it cuts down on head injuries because it forces everyone to shoulder tackle.
Yeah, I've heard people say that. Like, go back to the leather helmets, and then people will stop leading with their heads, and that's where the injuries come from.
Or some have said take the face mask off, or
right.
maybe make the face mask even closer to the face,
right.
You know, to give that illusion that it's, you know, not there.
Yeah, I feel like the risk just is too great with that, something bad happening. By the way, David Carr, that's the first David I thought of for college football players. Obviously not active, but Dave in Georgetown asked if there's been a David who's played college football. I'm sure there have been hundreds, unlike some of the names I ran off for you on our all-names list. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Back to the phones. Richard is with us. Richard, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, Luke?
Not much. What's
How
going
you doing?
On? Good.
Good. I was just listening to the list there. And I thought there was maybe one name that got put off of there.
Yeah.
Clemson's linebacker, James Skalski. That just screams 80s linebacker. I mean, that just has linebacker written all over it. I thought that would be a perfect name for that list.
Yeah, not a bad one. Let's see. On the linebacking core, we had Chief Borders, Bumper Pool, and Power Eccles. So it's hard to bump one of those off because those are three pretty good ones.
You can't bump off Bumper Pool. That's a pretty
no,
cool name. Right?
I like that one.
As for David, I think there's two David Moores that actually play for the Carolina Panthers. So
I'm sure there's been plenty, I'm sure. Appreciate it, Richard. Yeah, there's been plenty of Davids. Right, that's not a unique name. You know what a unique name is? A Joe for Clemson. I think that's the proper way. I always say a Joe. I think it's a Joe.
You're right.
Yeah.
We had a caller call in and say that's the correct pronunciation.
I should know. I mean, I did the Citadel Clemson game last year, so I had to learn all these names. A Joe. But that goes back to what I was saying about Kelly. Why name a kid the first name the same as the last name? But when we come back, speaking of a Joe, why I hope he has success this year, and also you should hear the comps he's getting. I told you, this is the time of year that coaches get carried away, and they're getting carried away with a Joe. I'll tell you who they're comparing him to when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way.
Coming up, Clemson getting carried away with one of their wide receivers. But I hope they're right for one random reason. And I'll tell you why here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Just ran through the all-names team for the upcoming college football season. GarnettandCocky.com said that Hot Rod Fitton needs to be on that all-names team. I do agree. He's an honorable mention. I gave him an honorable mention. Now, let's see. He would have to replace tough competition. You got Big Cat Bryant, Octavius Oxendine. That may be the weakest one, but I like the alliteration. Fish McWilliams. And then, again, this is a name. I'm not saying any bad words. Shitta Silla. I mean, come on. That one. How can you take that off the list? But Hot Rod Fitton's pretty good. That would be a perfect name, though, for like a wide receiver. Right? Maybe a little tiny, fast wide receiver. Hot Rod Fitton. It is a great name. Always great names in football. I don't know why, but I love it. Now, while Hot Rod didn't make the actual team, Clemson's wide receiver, a Joe did. He's on the all-names team. And I saw this today while perusing The Athletic. I talked yesterday on the show. This is the time of year that coaches are very excited. Season's right around the corner. They're hopeful. They have high expectations. They're confident. They feel good. So we had Marcus Satterfield, offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks, compare Luke Doty to Drew Brees, and also reference 2019 LSU, one of the greatest offenses statistically we've seen. Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma, because of Shane Beamer, I get the connection. But still, the best offensive coach we have, Shane Beamer. Or I should say, Lincoln Riley. And then also Carolina Panthers with Christian McCaffrey. And said, you know, look at these teams. That will be our offense. And I get what he was going for about how they're going to be shaped around those same style of offenses. He wasn't talking about performance. But check out these quotes from Clemson's camp so far about a Joe. He said he's his own person. This is Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator. He's his own person, but if I had to pick someone he reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins, but he's bigger and might be faster. So you're telling me he's DeAndre Hopkins, but bigger and faster. That wasn't all. Then we got Dabo Sweeney said that a Joe could be the next Terrell Owens or Shannon Sharp. Told what Tony Elliott said about him, the wide receiver said, wow, Nuke, come on. He's like the greatest. Talking about DeAndre Hopkins. So, for a Joe, not only is he on the all-name team, but he's getting quite the pub here going into the season where his offensive coordinator said, he's DeAndre Hopkins, but bigger and faster. And his head coach is saying he's going to be either the next Terrell Owens or Shannon Sharp. I mean, high praise. T.O. is one of the best receivers we've seen. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the NFL. That's setting the bar high for Mr. a Joe, who last year, you know, didn't play a whole lot, and we'll see what he brings as a sophomore. But he's one of those big receivers I was talking about. Clemson has five guys that are 6'3 or taller at the wide receiver position that overall will be a nightmare for defenses this year. But I do hope that the coaches are right to a certain degree about a Joe, just so that we could play this random. You know, I reference Seinfeld here around here all the time. I hope a Joe has a great season so that we could always play this whenever we talk about him.
Try the beef, because that's real ajou sauce, huh? Real ajou sauce!
If only he pronounced his name ajou. And then ajou sauce, that'd be perfect. Be even better on the names list. Speaking of Seinfeld, today is National Left-Handers Day. So what better time than this to circle back to? This was the first joke Jerry Seinfeld ever wrote, and I always loved this one about being a left-hander.
Because when you're left-handed, you put down for being left-handed. You know, it's always left. Oh, left words are always negative things. Leftovers, they're terrible. Two left feet, left-handed compliment. You ever see a crook named Righty? You never see that. Everything right is a positive thing. Right on, the Bill of Rights. You go to a party, there's nobody there. Would everybody go? They left.
Happy National Left-Handers Day. The first joke Jerry ever wrote. My mother's a lefty, so happy National Left-Hander Day to my mother. The rest of the family's righties. And I've told this story before, but growing up, my father would always try to put the spoon or the fork in my brother's and our left hands so that we could be lefty pitchers. Because if you're a lefty pitcher, you could have a 6 ERA, you'll continue to get opportunities. It is ridiculous. Right? You think nepotism is bad in certain industries. Lefty pitchers. Those guys will have 20-year careers. You go and you look at their numbers and you think, how is this guy still in the league? How is he still getting opportunities? Right, Mike Myers, Ron Valone, I mean, so many over the years, just because they're lefties. And all of us, whenever my father would put the silverware in our left hand as babies, we just move it back over to our right hand. And it was clear we were all going to be right-handers. But if you're a lefty, happy National Left-Handers Day today. Even if Jerry says, right, everything that's lefty is a negative. Rights are all the positive. But today we celebrate you on this National Left-Handers Day. We'll wrap up your Friday and the week. When we come back, it's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Fun and funky finish here Friday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. As always, I did a poor job. I didn't get to everything I teased. So next week, which teams in the NFL have the quarterback that can take them all the way? And my main takeaway from the start of Hard Knocks, which has to do with all of football. A new theme in football. We'll get to that following the weekend. Before we go, let's go back to the phones. Jim is with us. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for Happy Lefties Day. I'm a lefty.
Oh.
But let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
We don't have a statue in this town, and that's not good. So I'm going to try to start a GoFundMe account to have the big kahuna statue.
There you go.
And we're going to drop it into the aquarium, okay? And I'm going to work on the Children's Museum to put this statue together. And, of course, he will have a sumo wrestling outfit on, his white hair, of course. He will have on, and his nicknames, by the way, on the front will be the Big Kahuna, which he's noted for, and on the back will be a possum. And he will hold a possum in his right hand. He will wear a Braves hat, which might get a little seaweedy or whatever from floating around. And to make sure there's a big enough gap between his legs and the bottom so the sharks can come through. Okay? Now, Bobby Hart will have on his left shoulder, because on his left hand, he'll have a baseball glove, and he'll say, "You want to have a catch?" I think that would be the ultimate. I'm going to get on the kids at the museum. I have a contact there, and we'll get it together, and then we'll drop it into the aquarium.
I like it.
We'll have a show. We'll have a show to do it there. I think that will be a good idea. It's a good segue into the next show. It happens this afternoon.
I'm with you. I like it, Jim. You got me on board. Let's make it happen. It'd be even better than the bronze Fonz in Milwaukee or Jason Voorhees at the bottom of some random lake in Minnesota. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as all of the context of that, you can find it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. Or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page or through our free app, which you can download in the App Store by searching ESPN Charleston. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes, so now we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again Monday at noon. Happy National Left-Handers Day, and also happy National Blame Someone Else Day. So if you didn't like something I said today, if I get something wrong that I said today, blame Joe. Happy National Blame Someone Else Day.
And I'll in turn blame you.
Okay, and then I'll blame Bobby and so on and so forth. We'll talk to you Monday. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.